Blog Talk Radio.
Tell somebody the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Heart, no matter where you are, and your heart will lead you home. Your heart will always tell you what's best for you, what's best for you to do. That's where your Lord, all Savior, all Redeemer, that's where he speaks. He speaks to our hearts. And I'm sorry for you all that I wasn't here yesterday. Yesterday was a busy day for me. Sunday night, I thought I was having a heart attack, to tell you the truth. that will not lie to you. I've never had a bad that pain I had on Sunday night after service. And in service was good. I was ministering, singing, and sharing, and I never felt a pain like that when I got home. I'm telling the truth. I didn't drink nothing, didn't smoke nothing, didn't eat nothing. Well, after my granddaughter wanted pizza, I had two small slices of onion pizza because I really don't like pizza. Pizza is one of the foods and hot dogs that I don't like. Don't like pizza, and I don't like hot dogs. I don't know, for some reason, I never like them. You know, I would eat it, but I don't like it. And I had this pain in my chest, like I hear people say, the pain you get when you're having a heart attack feels like an elephant or a horse in your chest. But I'm telling you something, I experienced that on Sunday. I tell you, no lie, I experienced that pain, and it was scary. I wasn't afraid to die, but it was a scary pain. Cause I said, man, what's this pain going on? What's this? I tried to lay down, I couldn't lay down. I tried to sit up, couldn't sit up. I mean, how have I turned? The pain was like just gonna take me over. Well, I had an appointment that was my 6-month appointment that was up to see my cardiologist yesterday. That's my heart specialist. And he was used to put the machine on me with the EKG to check the heart, see how the heart is doing. And to my surprise, he says to me, he says, Rev, your heart is working fine. He said, if it was a heart attack, it didn't damage your heart at all. I tell you what a awesome God we serve. And I know what I felt. You know, it feels like if your chest is just being squeezed together in a vice grip. That's the way it feels. It's like somebody's pushing both sides of your chest together, and it's ready to explode. Well, glory to God, I was able to walk this all little dog, she gets crazy, walking in front of the house. I was able to go to the doctor yesterday, but I had other things to do. I had to drop off some equipment at the store to repair some speakers from the church, and then I had to take my granddaughter to work, so it was a lot of stuff, and it was too much, you know, running here, running there, you know. So I decided, well, you know what, I'm just going to let the line stay down and accomplish what I got to do, because we need to get the speakers fixed for the church, and that's what we did. We had this message here that we were going to talk about yesterday, and we're going to try to see how the Lord allow us to deliver this message today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us on Sunday while we were in the church, this word you gave to us. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to us today. Lord, we have submit our eyes, our ears, and our lips up clear to you. Father, we are not professing or proclaiming to be anything more than what you said we are. Lord, we are your tool. We are your servants that you use, O God. Father, I submit even right now to you, O God, to those that you have put place over my life. I ask, O God, that you forgive me of any sin that I may have committed, known or not known. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to have mercy on my soul. Do not allow the enemy to mock you because my soul is going in the wrong direction. Lord, I pray that you lead and guide me in every step that I take, O God. From this moment on, O God, continue to lead and guide me. Never let me step out of the path of righteousness. Never allow me to step into darkness, O God. For darkness means sin. We ask, O God, that you forgive those that are on the line today, even if they don't open their mouth to say they want to be forgiven. I ask you to forgive them. You said it's not your desire that you would lose anyone, but all will come to repentance, O God. We pray today for the Muslims. We will pray in the day that the Spirit of the Lord will be in the Middle East, the Muslims. In the very same night, we heard that over 200 Muslims have given their life to Jesus Christ. So we know the Spirit is moving. Hallelujah. Bible, they say that somebody say they saw a monogram or whatever they call it, some kind of name where you can project things, but they saw that they saw something on the battlefield that looked like God, looked like Jesus, the illumination of a person on the battlefield. You know, people start to tremble, but you look and see what God is doing. A lot of people don't realize, I posted on the internet, that they don't even realize what's happening in their own country. You know, because God is doing things in all these countries that no man can do. You got several countries that are having super floods and earthquakes and wind storms 320 miles an hour in Saudi Arabia, in Iran and Iraq, in Pakistan, in India. I mean, all these places at the same time. Winds are 320 miles an hour. You know, it can take up a tractor trailer and turn it over sideways, backwards, anywhere. 320 miles an hour. That's God. And people don't realize. Because God is tired and sick and tired. Deacon Freddy used to say it all the time. God is sick and tired. He's tired and sick and tired at all of the sin that they're doing down here. You have these governmental officers, these people that are in high offices that are people babies and killing them and making sacrifice with people's children to get their blood and get their naval cord and all this kind of stuff so they can have power. You understand? Like God can't see and God don't know. And as we go closer and get closer to the year 2024, you're going to see a lot of more Hollywood stars going to die. More politicians going to die. And people are going to be saying, you're going to hear them saying, well, she was a healthy woman. He was a healthy man. But they don't know how wicked they were. You see, they're looking at their physical outlook. They're wicked. And God's going to remove a lot of them from off this earth. Before 2024, you're going to hear. I hope you write this down, because when it starts happening, you should remember Apostle Candler shared that on Blog Talk Radio. This politician died. This politician died. This movie actor died. Young age. Not no old people that you say, well, you have to say, well, they probably died from heart attack. They probably died from cancer. No, it's not going to be no cancer. They just going to drop down dead. God going to take them out of this world because he's tired of they abusing his children. We are all God's children. Oh, you hear me say, God wanted a family, and he sowed the seed of his son in the earth so that he would get a family. And now his family is coming to him by the thousands. People are trying to hinder them. They're trying to kill them and stop the babies. You know, see, the people are using all this stuff for the babies, taking the baby's navel cord, the blood and all this stuff, and the water from the womb, you know, killing the women, the mothers, and taking the water from the womb to make all different type of portions and lotions and all this kind of stuff. These people are wicked. But Father, we ask you to bless this word. We know that this word is going to touch us and take us to a place that we need to be in you, Lord. And this is called the final warning. The message today is called the final warning. And it's from Jeremiah chapter 6. You remember last week, I think we ministered in Jeremiah chapter 18, talking about the potter. And today we're going to talk about the final warning. And while we get here, we get to this thing because Sunday we were talking about in another part of this same chapter, we were talking about in the church about glory to God. Let me go down here and look at the part of the chapter we were talking about in the church. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We were talking in the church on how the enemy invades God's people because of lack of obedience. And we go through a lot of stuff. I was taking a trip. I had an invitation to North Carolina, and I was going to go there on leaving here on the 8th of December. Well, the Lord did not allow me to go. I really wanted to go. And then last night in my bed, the Spirit just says, don't travel. And I already have the ticket book. I got the printout here, and have the hotel room book and everything. You know, and Lord says last night, he says, don't go. Because just there was a little error in what was going on. And the Lord said, don't go. And I said, well, you know what? I already booked. It's a lot of money. You know, almost $700. And I booked a hotel for 3 nights and so on. I'm going to lose a night. You know, I have to pay them for a night. And I'm going to lose 20% of the flight. But that's all right. You know, sometimes you have to lose some because God knows what he's talking about. He knows. God does not make mistakes. You say, well, I got to go to Louisiana. I got to go to Barbados. I got to go to Ghana. I got to go to Ethiopia. God want me to go. But are you really, really, really listening to God to see what God wants? Or you want to go? See, because when you listen to God, God will give you the right answer. You say, well, I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be this big. Well, does God want you to go there to preach? Have you spent time with him asking him to see if that's what he really, 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 really want you to do? Because sometimes we want to go, but it's not God. And I was excited about going to North Carolina because I was going to meet some people that I haven't seen, I never met before, only heard their voices and stuff, seen them on the internet. But God said last night, I heard it so plain. I will tell you a lie, Ms. Jones, I heard it so plain in my spirit. And I woke up and said, what's that? And he says to me, he says, don't go. We need to cancel the flight. I said, okay. So that's what I'm doing. But here in this text, the Bible says the final warning, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 1. Let's look at it in the NLT. We're going to look at it in the Spiritual Warfare Bible, and we're going to look at it in the Logos Bible. Let's look at it. 21 verses we're going to look at. We got a whole lot of scriptures on this. My Lord gave me last night. We got the rest last night. We got the text in the church on Sunday. But today, last night, he gave me a lot of cross-reference scriptures to this. He says, run for your lives, you people of Benjamin. Get out of Jerusalem. Sound the alarm in Tekoa. Set up a signal at Beth Hakarim. A powerful army is coming from the north, coming with disaster and destruction. See, the Lord always warns his people. Warning comes before destruction. He always warns his people. We're looking around and saying now that in China, they got another virus that's killing people like crazy. We say, well, I don't care what doing, I'm going anywhere. It's not something that you're going to breathe. It's just going to happen. Nobody going to inject you. It's just going to happen. I don't know how it gets on your skin or get in your skin, but it's just going to happen. We have to be prepared. Hallelujah. I hear Prophet Kirsty says, where she live in Tennessee, she sees stuff falling out the sky like dust. Now here, one of my other pastor friends over in Philadelphia, New Jersey, says she went outside to walk her little dog, and she is seeing all of this stuff like powder. Who in the air is dropping powder? This is the demonic, satanic, we call them politicians, governmental officers that are using this stuff, having the army and navy and marines over in the atmosphere with the helicopters and things at night, and jets passing over us and dusting this stuff. Why? Because they want to control population. They're doing all type of stuff. But God said, you got to get out the place. You're going to have to make a shift. You have to watch it. You have to pray. He said, oh, Jerusalem, this is the NLT. You are my beautiful and delicate daughter. but I will destroy you. Enemies will surround you like shepherds camp around the city. Each chooses a place for his troops to devour. They shout, prepare for battle, attack at noon. No, it's too late. The day is fading. And the evening shadows are falling. Now we got some preachers now that they're preaching like these false prophets in the book of Jeremiah, where they tell the people that they had a dream. They had a dream that peace is coming. Peace and not war. Plenty and not famine. It's in the book of Jeremiah. But the Lord told Jeremiah that they were lying prophets, that he had not given them a word, that they prophesied and lied to his people, but he didn't say anything. And you got preachers now that are telling the people that this is the year or the season, this is the season of peace and joy. When there's wars all over the world, the Bible told you this. Jesus says there will be wars and rumors of war, there will be famine. But it's not the last day yet. It's not the end yet. But he said the time that we're living in, that we're going to experience all these things, but it's not the end. Why? Why are we going to experience these things? I'm glad you hear the warning this morning. You know why we're going to experience it? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know why we're going to experience those things? It's to prepare us. So when we see and hear these things, we can say, look, you know what? I remember reading that in the book of Revelation. I remember reading that in the book of Daniel. I remember reading that in the book of Ezekiel. I remember reading that in the book of Matthew, in the book of John. All of this stuff is in the book. He has given us the warning to follow the instructions, the blueprint to focus. Like you get in your car, you have a GPS system, the best, excuse me, the GPS systems in the car are getting better and better and better. Better. Because the people are getting wiser, like the Bible says, that the young people would get, the generation will be wiser and wickeder. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it right now. They got one thing called TikTok. I hate TikTok. So much evil on TikTok. And kids are committing suicide just playing with that TikTok. Playing with it. Testing this stuff. They tell the one that'll try this and try that. Next thing you know, they're dead. God warns us that the enemy is coming. Now, by the time we hear this, said this, you ought to know by now that the enemy is already here. He's not coming. He's already here. God told him he was coming. 7,000 years ago, he told him they were coming. The enemy was coming. But now we can see the enemy is here. Why? Because he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But we thank God for Jesus that he come that we would have life and have it more abundant. He said here in the word, well then, let's attack at night and destroy her palaces, talking about Jerusalem, talking about Israel, Judah. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Cut down the trees for battering rams. Build siege ramps against the walls of Jerusalem. This is the city to be punished. See, when we don't listen and adhere to what God is saying, God punishes us. He's a father. God cannot be a father without children. Do you understand this? I heard this last night. It just come back to me. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, that was his family. He gave them an assignment to be fruitful and multiply. He said the same thing to Abraham and Sarah. A man and a man cannot multiply, cannot be fruitful and multiply. That's not God's agenda. That was never God's plan for a man to go into the rear end of another man, or a woman to go down on another woman and lay down on top of another woman, talking about she having sex, using dildos and all this kind of machine they use with each other. They cannot multiply. God said to be fruitful. Why is God said to be fruitful? Because he wants a family. He is a father. He is the father of all nations, of all generations. Black, white, yellow, green, pink. I don't care what color he is. He's the father. But if you are not multiplying, how can he be father? He's not a grandfather. He's father. But you're not fruitful because you want another man. You want another woman. And he said that, oh, there's love. Which love you talking about? That's devil love. Devil don't have love. That's hate. Lust. Because the devil don't have love. He don't love nobody. Don't even love himself. If he loved himself, he would still be in a great position, the greatest position in heaven. He would still be in that position. God sold his son into the earth because that's the only way he could get his family back. He would reap a harvest of souls. Hallelujah, glory to God. But we want to just play church. And we let them come into church and let them do everything in the church. And we don't say anything about it. Men going up on the altar now, drag queens on the altar and claiming they're preachers. And the old nasty bishops and nasty apostles call themselves chief apostles will let them come up in the church and say they have a word from the Lord. Which Lord do they have a word from? We ought to arrest them apostles and those bishops and put them in jail. Send them down to Cuba, Guantanamo Bay or something. Defiling God's house. That's why I tell people, every house you see is not God's house. Don't call it God's house. The devil is taking over the whole place. Two women in the altar, same first woman, pastor, first lady. And then they got one woman called the pastor, first gentleman. Nastiness. And God is warning. They say, I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to bring judgment on the gates. This is what he says here, Jeremiah chapter 6. We're talking about the last warning. This is the topic today, the last warning. Jeremiah speaking this. And he says, this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Cut down the trees for battering rams. Build siege rams against the walls of Jerusalem. This is the city to be punished. Jerusalem is where God's people is. Or was at the particular time. At this time in Jeremiah time. But what they were doing the same foolishness we're doing. We have other gods. We profess that he is our God, but we got other gods. Our cars is our gods. Our house is our gods. Our women, our men is our gods. Our children is our gods. Why? Because we love them better than we love God. He said, I will have no other God before me. Don't make anything God before me. Don't love nobody else before you love me. Don't love anybody better than me. But we put out all the different, you buy your new suit, your new dress, your new wig, all that stuff you put before God. All these idols. He said, I'm going to punish them. He said, this is the city to be punished, for she is wicked, true and true. Not just wicked. God says she's wicked, true and true. The more you look at it, the more wickedness you see. These folk getting up on the altar, walking and talking and shaking their head like they're all that. Don't have no true honor, no true reverence for God. They go and soak that stuff and then get off the altar and go snort cocaine. They get off the altar and go drink cognac. One man was saying that a particular bishop that you all know, well-known bishop, one of the most well-known bishop in the United States of America, 35,000 members in his church over in Texas. And he was at the party, what they call the after joint party, with P. Diddy. He locked up now. P. Diddy locked up now. He in jail for all the nastiness he been doing. No, he likes sleeping with the men and sleeping with the women too. He had a lot of women all around him, but he also had a lot of young men that he was breaking him. He was the one who breaking the young stallions. And it's this big bishop that you all know, we all know, write books and write and sing songs, make CDs and DVDs or whatever they do, make movies and everything. And he was at the after joint party. Several after joint parties. We think they were doing that after joint party. Think they were preaching about Jesus? Just use it. You think they were preaching about Jesus? You think that he was trying to convert some of them people that live in the lifestyle of Riley? You think he would? No. But Jesus says, he said, listen to what he says. Let's go up. Verse 7. He says, she spouts even like a fountain. Her streets echo with the songs of violence and destruction. I always see her sickness and sore. See, nothing is hidden from God. I want you to know this. We can dress up. What we used to hear, the preacher says, they're just dressed up garbage cans. A whitewashed sepulcher. Look real good on the outside. But in the inside, we are nothing but a stinking, slimy trash can. God sees it all. He said, I see it true and true. She is wicked, true and true. Talking about Jerusalem, Israel, Judah. Listen, they say, he says, oh, my God, listen, listen, listen to what the Lord said. He says, listen to this warning, Jerusalem, or I will turn from you in disgust. Listen, or I will turn from you in deep, turn you into a heap of ruins, a land where no one lives. I will make you desolate. This is what God is saying. I will make you barren. This is what God is saying. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Even the few who remain in Israel will be picked over again. As when a harvest checks each vine a second time to pick the grapes that were missed. You can't hide from God. He sees everything. You may say, well, he missed me while I was in the crevice of the rock. But he said, I'm coming back. I'm going to check the crevices. I'm going to check the vine to make sure there was nothing hidden behind the leaves. Nothing hidden in the cracks. We're talking about the final warning today on Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm in the NLT. I have the Logos Bible on the side. And I have the warfare, spiritual warfare Bible here also. They both, those two have a lot of side notes. I don't want to go to side notes. I let the Holy Ghost do what he's doing. He's better than the side notes. That's man's side notes. Listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us as he spoke to Israel. Israel started to standing now strong, even though the enemy is coming from the four sides, five sides, as a matter of fact. They're coming in on Israel right now like a pentagram from five different sides. But the Bible said this would happen. The enemy would come from all sides after Israel, but they will not prevail. People in Israel today, the way called the messianic rabbi was saying that so many Israelites and even Muslims are coming to know Jesus. Because why? We're close to the end. We're not at the end yet, but we're close. So many will be converted. That's why we got to pray for Israel. We got to pray for Hamas. We got to pray for Palestine. We got to pray for Iraq and Iran. We got to pray for Afghanistan and Pakistan. We got to pray for Brazil. We got to pray for Australia. We got to pray for the Antilles and all these different countries. We got to pray for that the Muslim is trying to infiltrate and turn them heads upside down. We got to pray because the Spirit of God can do what no man can do. He said, listen, listen, listen. Now, to whom can I give warning? Who will listen when I speak? Their ears are closed and they cannot hear. Call the word of the Lord. They don't want to listen at all. Listen, listen. We are in this time that Jeremiah was over 7,000 years ago. Jeremiah is speaking to Judah and Jerusalem, Israel. And the people's ears were closed. The eyes were open, but they couldn't see. And we are seeing it right in our time that we are living in now. This is a prophetic word. It was for then and it's for now. Listen, let me read that again. He said, to whom can I give warning? Who will listen when I speak? Their ears are closed and they cannot hear. They scorn the word of the Lord. They don't want to listen at all. So now I am filled with the Lord's fury. Yes, I am tired of holding it in. Listen to what Jeremiah said. How do you feel that? Are you really on fire with God's anger for the people that are dying and going to hell? Do you have this kind of fire inside of you? This is what the Lord says. Do we have this kind of fire inside of us for the souls that are dying and going to hell? Or we just feel comfortable because me and my four is okay. It's just me and my four no more. We're satisfied not telling anybody, telling the world. Because, you know, there's so much violence going on outside this. I'm not going to talk to nobody about Jesus. I'm not talking to anybody about Jesus. It might cost me my life. But he said the life you try to save is the life you will lose. But if you lose your life for his name's sake, you will save it. You will gain life. They don't want to listen, but you still got to preach it. You still got to tell it. You got to be ready to give an answer in season, out of season. You got to be ready to tell them about the hope that's inside of you. Problem is that we don't allow the light in us to shine. We're comfortable with a dim bulb. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are comfortable with a dim bulb. You know, we got them lights in the house. Now we got several in our house where you have a dimmer switches, and you can make it soft. They call it softening the light. Like you put it in a love mood. Turn the light down soft. Somebody sing that song. Turn the light down low and light a candle. Sing with Bob Marley. So we turn the light down soft. But that's what we do. The same thing we do in the natural is the same thing we do in the spirit. We turn our light, our spiritual light down low. People can't see it. They don't even know that you are saved and sanctified. They don't even know that you're washed in the blood because you don't have nothing on you. You don't have no blood stains on you. See, when you have the blood stain of Jesus Christ upon you, you'll be on fire. You're on fire. You want to tell somebody because you can't hide it. You know, if you have a nice suit and got some stain on it, you have to take it to the cleaners because everybody can see it. Well, it's the same way when the blood is on you. Even the devil can see you got some blood on you. And it's Jesus' blood because it antagonized him. But you don't got no blood. You hide the stain, hide the blood. Woo, glory to God, Holy Spirit. That way, I don't not want to go to side notes today. We want to hear the Holy Ghost speak to us. He says, Lord, so now I am filled, verse 11. So now I am filled with the Lord's fury. Yes, I am tired of holding it in. I will pour out my fury on children playing in the streets and on gathering of young men and on husbands and wives and on those who are old and gray. Their homes will be turned over to their enemies, as will their fields and their wives. For I will raise a powerful fist against the people of this land, says the Lord. He said, from the least of the greatest, their lives are ruled by greed. From prophets to priests, they are all frauds. Do you hear what God is saying? If you get up on the microphone on the altar and behind the microphone and preach this word, they'll throw you out the church. They'll throw you out the building. Because you said no, that the priests and the prophets are frauds. But God is saying so by the prophet Jeremiah. He was the proof, was called a weeping prophet. He felt the pain of the people. The prophets said they don't want to cry, don't even weep. You know why? Because they don't feel the pain of the people. They don't feel the needs of the people. They say, I'm a sissy if I get on the altar and cry. Why has he always got to be crying? Because he feels the pain, the sin that's upon God's people right in the sanctuary. That's why I preach and I weep. Because I see people inside the house of God that's playing church. Even some of the pastors. Preaching and playing church. They don't have an encounter with God. They have not spent time with him to hear God say, don't go this place and don't go that place. They go where they want to go anytime they want to go. They want to be looked upon as it's a prolific, exciting, great preacher. God said, "Don't go. Tell them they have a dream. They're going to have joy and peace and all this stuff." And God didn't say nothing. War is coming. The sword is coming, but they're not preaching about the sword. They tell you, you're going to have joy and peace. There's not going to be no war. God didn't say that. Lying prophets, lying preachers. They look good, sound good, but they're nasty, filthy. Listen to what it says. They offer superficial treatments for my people, mortal wounds. They give assurance of peace when there is no peace. Do you hear what God is saying through the prophet? I was watching a preacher the other day. Yesterday, somebody sent me the thing. And the preacher said to the people, "This is the season of peace and joy. When you just reach up and receive your joy and your peace, people are jumping and skipping. If you look from the north to the south, can you see any peace in the world right now?" You may say, "Well, I got peace." We're not talking about that little peace you got at your house that you're comfortable, you and your wife and your children, you and your phone no more. We're talking about peace in the whole neighborhood, the whole city. You can't turn on your television without hearing somebody gun down in the street or stab at the gas station or something, in the grocery store, in the supermarket, at the hospital. There's no peace. But these folks are prophesying that there's peace. And God says to the prophet, they offer superficial treatment for my people, mortal wounds. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace. My God, can you hear what God is saying? He says, are they ashamed of their disgusting actions? Not at all. They don't even know how to blush. Therefore, they will lie among the slaughtered. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. You know why? You know why that they're not ashamed? Let me tell you why they're ashamed. This whole chapter, I was only going to verse 21. I'm going to verse 21. But this is where what you see. He said, this is what the Lord says, verse 16. Stop at the crossroads and look around. What you ever hear? Mama used to say, boy, you better get up and smell the coffee. You better get up and smell it. Get up. I never understood. These is nuggets my mama used to drop. She wasn't talking about no coffee. She was talking about the stuff that was going on around the house, around the city, around the neighborhood. All the abuse and all the stuff that was going on. She tell me stuff like, boy, you lie down with dogs, you get it with fleas. Birds of a feather flock. I mean, dropping nuggets to me. She, that woman died since 1979, 1980. She'd been gone home to read the Lord. A Christian woman couldn't read all right, but loved the Lord. No heavy hearing the book. Lord, she heard it, she knew it. If she heard the Bible read, she reminisced everything, maintained everything that she heard. She go over Oral Roberts and Billy Graham on the radio, and they're preaching. My mama stepped in her ear like a microphone on the radio, picking up every note, every word of the Word of God. And you got people that couldn't read and write. They know nothing. Didn't pay no attention. They close their ears to the voice of God. That's what the prophet says. They rejected the word of God. And we've seen that the generations that we're living now and seeing now is doing the same exact thing. Rejecting the word of God. They got piercings all over them. Piercings in the navel. Piercing in the ears. Piercing in the nose. Piercing in the eyes. Piercing in the tongue. They got piercings everywhere. Piercing underneath the esophagus. Everywhere. You went, and then they got the little, they call them crop tops. Where they got the thing just underneath their breast, the top, the little top thing. I don't even call it a top. But all their belly is open, all around their back. And they got kidney problems. They got back problems. They got lung problems. Why? Because all the cold breeze, they got the hot wind, and then they got the cold wind all around their belly. All around them, full of cold. Because they won't dress properly. And then there was that, some, they got the list cursed half naked. The wind going up on if the little piece of skirt and messing up the vagina. They can't get pregnant. You understand what I'm saying?
They don't want what God is saying. He said dress and decent apparel. They want to dress right. Nobody telling them. He said that's what they want to do, let them do. That's what the people say. Preachers don't even say nothing. They come in the church and they want to sit up front, short, little mini skirt. All underneath the dress you can see underneath the dress. The little mini skirt. Preacher wouldn't say nothing when we go. Wouldn't help them to live. He said, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old, godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. See, we got to go back to the old landmark. We got to get back to the foundational scriptures. We got to go back and look. My father was an alcoholic, died from alcohol. He was in his house, died for several weeks before they phoned him in there. But my father, let me go there because I can't recite this one here yet. My father, his favorite song. You could always tell when my father was getting intoxicated. This is what he would say. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and all and they that dwell therein. Excuse me. For he has founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. And lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He said, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. My father was an alcoholic, as I tell you. And every time that he get intoxicated, that he ready to fall over, he wasn't no preacher. He had no mindset to be a preacher. My father would rehearse this scripture, that scripture, that division of Psalm out of his point, man. And it will flow, not like I just think, because I wouldn't flow and I was missing some of the words. I wouldn't seem to well. I got to go to the doctor tomorrow for my eyes tomorrow. I got an appointment tomorrow evening. But got an appointment today for my family doctor. I had a cardiologist yesterday. So 3 days in a row I have these things going on. But my father, there was something about this particular scripture. He knew a lot of scriptures, but this one, the division of Psalm 24. He would say that, and you say, well, how could he stumble and falling down and can't stand up straight? But he had that inside his heart. What do you have in your heart today that you can give back to the Lord for all of his benefits? What, the Bible said, what can you render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? All that God has done for you and I. He says, stop. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Examine yourself. That's what the crossroads he's talking about. Examine yourself. Look at your life. See where you are. Is everything going the way that you really hope it to go? Or the way that God requests or ordained for us to go? Let's say it that way. Is everything going that way? Or it's going your way. Ask for the old, godly way, and walk in it. Don't just get it. When you ask for it, you get it. What James says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Activate the word in your life. You hear the scripture every day. Somebody preach, somebody say, you go to church on Sunday morning, church building, you go on Wednesday night, you go on Saturday morning, or whatever nights and days you go to the church building. And you hear the teaching of the gospel. You take some notes or you don't take some notes. You record on your phone. I like this. I got a feature on my computers. I can't write fast. My granddaughter, she can write real fast. But I can't write fast. Sometimes I got to hear two things two or three times because I miss some. But when I put this on dictate, when I put any of them computers on dictate, these iPads, whatever the pastor says, depends on how his accent or his the sounding or the height of his voice is going to record. May not get the word exactly, but I know what it means. And I can go back and change. I can get the whole sermon. Just listen to him just talk. Because, see, I just don't want to be hearer. Because there's something in the sermon for me. You know why I know that? Because I have not arrived. I don't have it all together like some people do. I'm still learning. So because I'm still learning, I know God has a lot to give to me. Because I never know what he knows. But he has a lot to give to me, and he's going to give it to me through other preachers. Listen to what he says. I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you replied, no. Do you hear that? Listen to what God is saying to the prophet. He says, I posted watchmen over you who said, listen for the sound of the alarm. But you reply, no. We won't pay attention. All the stuff that's going on and God is saying to us, we got to pay attention. Watch in prayer. Prophet just put a post on computer yesterday. She was talking, but we really need to pray. We really do need to pray. Man, I find myself driving and praying. Oh, people looking at me and laugh. And I'm saying, why didn't look at me and laugh? Do I look funny behind the steering wheel? But I come to the conclusion that when they see me talking, I don't have a headphone or Bluetooth on, and I'm talking, driving, and I'm maybe making some faces because I'm talking with the Lord, they probably think that I'm losing my mind. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm not losing my mind. I'm getting my mind right. He said, therefore, verse 18, listen to this, all you nations. Take note of my people's situation. See, God has people that are watching you. Do you know that? He got people that are watching us, observing who we really are. And they're wondering if, as they look at us, are we really who we say we are? Consider yourself, are your light really shining for real? Are your light really shining? Because if your light really shining, somebody should come and be inquisitive of what kind of light is that. I see a light coming out your house. What kind of light is that? It looks different. There should be inquiring. Then you get an opportunity to say, it's the light of God. That's your opportunity now to share him. It's the light of God that's shining through me. It's not my light. It's his light. Therefore, listen to this, all you nations. Take note of my people's situation. Listen, all the earth. I will bring disaster on my people. It is the fruit of their own schemes. Because they refuse to listen to me, they have rejected my word. Do you hear that? You can't run around and say, oh, God's a loving God. Yes, he's a loving God, but he's a God of wrath. You can believe what I'm telling you. This Bible tells me that. People say, well, how would God send a God of love, of compassion, and mercy, and grace, and long-suffering, and patience, all this stuff was sent. No, God ain't going to send nobody to hell. I guarantee you, your actions, all actions, we're going to send us to hell if we don't repent and turn to Christ. That's what it says. Therefore, that is a conjunction. He said, therefore, listen to this. It's alert, an alert, all you nations. Take note of my people, situations. Listen, all the earth. I will bring disaster on my, if God going to bring disaster on his people, what do you think he would do to the people that's not his people? Think about it. What do you think he would do to the people that start, the people that right up front rejected him, the people right now rejecting God? We got a church down the street. I would say about 10 minutes from the street. 10 minutes from my house. Maybe less, depending on how you drive. If you take the back roads, it's quicker. And the pastors or bishops or priests over in the side of the church, the church is planted. And that's why I hear Apostle Washington say they're called a whitewashed tomb. That church is white. Completely white, lily white. I think it looked to me like they painted every week or every other month. White, beautiful white outside. But right on the front, when you're going up the state, they got the homosexual flag. You know, they used, they stole that stuff from us. They stole the sign of the promise from us, the rainbow, that God promised he wouldn't flood the earth again. They got a bigger rainbow in front of that church than they have a cross. Representing that, telling the homosexuals, you all can come. You're free to come in here and be yourself. Not in change. Be yourself. Because a homosexual, a lesbian should be free to come to your church, but not to remain the same. You understand? Because the church is for everybody. The church is a hospital. It's a place where they come and they get fixed. They get surgery. The Holy Ghost do surgery on them when they come in the church because you're preaching the truth. But if you don't come in, you don't go to the hospital to remain the same. I had a cardiology exam yesterday. They had a camera going around my body. They had a machine hooked up to me. And then the machine spits out the paper. And the doctor told me because I thought they had a heart attack on Sunday night, I tell you, I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk. My chest was locked up, man, locked up. And I was breathing short. And I said, well, no, I'm going to call it. I might say, but no, let me just wait. I'm going to give God his opportunity to do what only he can do. And I prayed there. And I lay back down. And all of a sudden, it just went away. I took one of the pills to give me from the hospital. Took one, then took one. Another one about 3 minutes after. And he said, Rev, he says, I don't know what's going on. He said, but we can't see no problem. I can't see no problem wrong with the heart. All the information that come back from the machine said that the heart is in good shape. He listened. But, my friends, God is saying that disaster is coming. And this is what we got to prepare the people for. You're not making them afraid. You're getting them ready. Getting them ready that they need to repent and they need to change their way of doing things. Hallelujah. People need to repent. And we got to tell them. I'm not here to scare nobody. I'm telling you what God says. Oh, you, man, preacher says you're going to have joy, you're going to have peace. This is your year of peace and preaching. This is your season of peace and joy. Down the street, they can't even go to the gas station. And the pastor just told them, this is their year of peace and joy. And they leave the church full of fear because they know that down the street, there's just been a shooting. Just down the street from the church. You could have looked out the street and see where the police tapes are. And the preacher just told them, there's going to be joy and peace in this season. But the Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 6, we almost finished. I got a lot more scriptures to give, but we're going to do a part 2. We'll come back and do a part 2, maybe a part 3. But it all depends on how the Lord leads us. Because we got to work the scriptures. The scripture has it all. He said, eat the whole scroll or the whole roll. Eat it all. Then he says, therefore listen to this, all nations. Take note of my people's situation. Listen, all the earth. I will bring disaster on my people. It is the fruit of their own schemes. Do you hear that? That's a highlight right there. Verse 19. I'm reading out the NLT. You may get a different writing in the Straight King James. also got here, let me see what it looked like in the Warfare Bible. He said, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people. The fruit of their thoughts, for they have not heeded my words, nor my laws, but rejected it." Verse 20 says, this is the warfare Bible, spiritual warfare Bible. "For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish." Listen, thus says the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. Because we are God, we have gone into the place where what God says don't matter anymore. Not you and I. I'm talking about those out there in computer land. They're bringing stuff to God's house. God does not want it. He doesn't need it. He's not. As a matter of fact, God is not receiving it. He said here, listen, therefore, no, there's no use offering me sweet frankincense from Sheba. Keep your fragrant calamus imported from distant lands. I will not accept your burnt offerings. Your sacrifices have no pleasing aroma for me. Do you hear what God said? This is the NLT. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will put obstacles in my people's path. Fathers and sons will both fall over them. Neighbors and friends will die together. You say he's a God of peace. He's God of love. He's all that. But he's also a God of wrath and a God of judgment. This God that we serve, if you go on and continue to read the book of Jeremiah, I want to stop at verse 21. You will see that he allowed the enemy to come in from the north, from the south, from all different lands against Judah and Jerusalem. Because there were two nations, one of them, Judah and Jerusalem. But it became one, Israel. He now allowed the enemy to come in. Why? Why did he allow the enemy to come in? Excuse me. We just had a bomb scare here in not in this state, in a couple of states over in New Jersey, in the mall, on the busiest day, one of the busiest days of the year, on Black Friday. That's Black Friday when they sold the slaves. You know that, right? It was no place where you go and get bargains at the store. It was all about slavery. They had a bomb scare. They got a note that there was a bomb, a call in the mall. Thousands of people, listen to me, were in the mall at that particular time when they got the call to one of the security offices in the mall. Can you imagine if you were at the mall? People running left, running right, trying to get out. Trying to get out the mall. It could have been too late for a lot of people. But God bless that it was a false alarm. But there were thousands of people, and they were running. People were getting trampled, trying to get out the mall. Well, when they got the alarm, that they got to get out the mall. Because there is a bomb threat. Why? Because the people are already here. And next time it's going to be too late. They're not going to get a phone call. Listen to me, I prophesy this now. God forbid that it happen, but I prophesy that the next time it's not going to be, they're not going to get a phone call. It's going to be too late. Why? Because they already crossed the border. They're already crossing. That's why you got to watch in prayer. Have you seen something don't look right? Call, tell somebody. Every death don't look right. Some pockets next to the street, next to the store, next to the hospital, in the parking lot. Call somebody. Get yourself a far away. Call somebody. He says, this is what the Lord says. Look, a great army coming from the north, a great nation is rising against you from far off lands. They are armed with bows and spears. They are cruel and show no mercy. They sound like a roaring sea. As they ride forward on horses, they are coming in battle formation, planning to destroy you. Beautiful Jerusalem. Isn't that what's happening up there now? They're coming out on horses now. They're coming in ships. They're coming in planes. They're coming on cars. They're coming in parachutes. You saw it. That's the first time I've ever seen anything like that. When the people paraglide into Israel and kill the babies, beheaded them. And you got now, you have people here in America that is coming against Israel for Hamas, for the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're standing up for Israel, for the devil. Because any person that can take a baby and cut off a baby head and cut open a woman's womb, cut open a woman's womb and take her baby out of her belly and kill the baby is a devil. How can you applaud them or say anything good for them? But this is what it is. You got folk on the street now want to stab you, want to hurt you, want to maim you because you say you stand with Israel. You're standing for justice. At this time where Israel is, God is not going to let anything happen to them. They're losing lives. Take lives. Because they will survive. They must survive. If you go back and read the book of Exodus, the book of Joshua, right, the book of Leviticus, from Genesis all the way down to Revelation, you're going to see that there were nations that came against God's people. You know, sometimes you got to see how awesome, how loving and kind and merciful. But you also got to see the judgment of God. Because God will allow judgment to come upon you and me to drive us back to our knees. That don't mean he don't love us. But that means that he loves us so much that he is willing to drive us to our knees where we can be protected. And that's what he did with Israel. When Israel get disconnected and hard-hearted, he just spanked them a little bit. He allowed the neighbor to spank them. They're praying now. Look in the streets on the TV. Look on YouTube and see the Israelite soldiers out in the street giving Jehovah praise. Praising them in the street, the soldiers. And then the Messianic Jews that know Jesus, they're praying even the more. Because they know that he's the protector, the Messianic Jew. You see what I'm saying? So God know what he doing. But Father, we thank you and praise you, oh God. We got so much to give you all. I don't want to go anymore today. We got so much to give you all on this thing. And this final warning. Jeremiah spoke this thing in such a deep way. You know, there's so much in the Amplified and so much in the Warfare Bible and the Logos Bible. There's so much, you know, the translator of these two books have interjected so much. They put so much that I would say that they heard from the Holy Spirit. Because you don't know, you know, when a person is writing and they're writing gospel, you know, I was writing a sermon, extending a sermon last night on my computer. And God was speaking so much. I was just blown away. You know, because when you spend time to with him, he speaks and gives you so much, enlightening you so much. It's just like he's opened the door for the light to come into your heart. And you begin to see so much. that you haven't seen in the world. I'm just writing stuff, and I'm laying there on my bed, and I'm typing in the computer. I said, wow. And then when it stopped, I said, okay, Lord, like he said, take a rest. He said, we'll get back to this again. So I'll go back in later today if the Lord says so, and I start to look at it and see, because there's a sermon that I'm putting in. I'm talking about the stench and the fragrance of the stench of sin and the fragrance of holiness. And that's the sermon that I'm writing. Extend. I have the sermon in the Bible, but in my book, my computer, but I haven't finished it. It's not long enough, you know. And so I'm adding to it. And then the other one I got about, no, the stench or the storm. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us. We hope that those that came on, Apostle was on there. He just got off. And Prophetess Kirsty was on. She just got off. We just pray, Father God, that you bless us today to hear more from you, God, as we submit and commit to your way. Father, we know that it's not us. We know that's you, because you are the giver of life and you are the sustainer of life, the keeper of our soul. Lord, we can't ask for your mercy enough, your grace enough. Father, we ask that you continue to heal the Middle East, heal Jerusalem, heal Israel, heal the Hamas people, the Palestinians, the Afghanistan, heal Hezbollah, Lebanon, Iraq. Lord, there's so much going on. Father, but we pray today, God, that you draw them out of darkness, Lord God, into your marvelous light, that Satan will not rejoice, because you have created all things for your glory. There's nothing that has been created on this earth that has not been created by you and for you. Father, we ask today that those that are out there in computer land, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take the time to search your own heart. You know what's hindering you. You know what's your hindrance. There's something that's stopping you from coming close to Jesus. Like I had things that were stopping me. You know, what was stopping me was the world. I wanted to be more part of the world than part of what God was doing, the plan that he had for my life. You know, I thought that the world system was it. The nightclub, you know, the cabarets and the shows and the big theaters, going to these stores to hear this entertainer come and sing four or five songs and get all your money going. You know, you jumping and shouting because, oh, the band sounds good. You pay $30, $40 to go in there. You know, it depends on where you are. Some is up to $100, $125 to come to hear them talk or sing, play, and your money gone. But it costs you nothing. It costs him everything. It cost him everything, his life. He had to be pierced. He had to be nailed. He had to be crowned. And his skin torn by a whip for the salvation that is free to us. But it cost him his life. And if you out there in computer land, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is what the Bible says. All, that means you and me, us, we all. None of us can get up here and push our chest up. That's why I hear people say, you know, I'm going to heaven. No, I said, I want to go to heaven. And, you know, there's times in my life that thing that happened in my life that I know that would hinder me from, so I have to check myself quick. Deacon Fraser said, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. So I have to check myself. Well, how do I check myself? I repent, because there's a lot of thoughts that comes up. I don't know about you. I can just talk about me that come up in my mind sometime that would lead me away from Christ. I know this. Hallelujah. So I have to ask God to forgive me and put me back on that, draw me back on that path. Because you don't know how quick it is to slide off the path of righteousness. It's easy. Don't let nobody fool you. Well, no. I can't happen to me. No, I'm telling you. It is so easy. You wouldn't even know where you are. Slip hill. He called it slip hill. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is awesome. He called it slip hill. You wouldn't even know where you're on slip hill. We call it backsliding hill. you wouldn't even know. You'll be sliding down the hill in the slime all the way to sliding away from Christ before you realize that you backslid. Pastor says, one pastor said last week, you could be don't go to church for one Sunday. He said, well, I'll catch up next Sunday. But next Sunday, something happened. You got to work overtime. He said, the pastor, well, I can't come this Sunday because my boss wants me to work this at two Sundays. You got in overtime. And the boss said, now, how you're willing to just sacrifice your faith in God. Because that's what you're sacrificing. You're willing to sacrifice your faith in God to make that money. Because that money going to pay your bills and you're going to have some extra to put in the bank that you can't carry with you. So the pastor, the next Sunday, said, look, you know, since you worked last Sunday, we want to give you a chance to make some more money this Sunday. Now, three Sundays. And they go on like that till you find yourself, no, it's a month. It's a month and a half. And you get comfortable working every Sunday. You get comfortable working every Sunday. So it doesn't feel like you're missing anything. Before you know it, you're back smoking cocaine. You're back snorting cocaine. You're back drinking alcohol. You're back smoking marijuana. You're back shacking up with sister this body, brother this body. You're doing all the things that you say you weren't going to do anymore. Why? Because you're backsliding. See, backsliding is not a sudden thing. It's not a sudden dash, but it's a slow slip. Slow slide. You'll be in the slime of the heel. The slime represents sin. Sliding down the hill, slipping down the hill. You're out there shacking up with Sister Susie. Your wife is at home hoping, thinking that you're out there working. Your husband at home thinking where you're working. But you are at the hotel, motel, with Brother Mac, Brother Cabbage, Brother Lettuce, Sister Carrot. You're backsliding. So the devil move. So the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and 23. It also says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, if you continue to sin, this is what Paul is saying. You may sin and get up and brush yourself off because you realize you're falling in the mud. You realize you have fallen in the mud like a pig. And you get up and brush off yourself, and you get yourself back on clean street. But if you stay down in that mud, like really like a pig, because pigs don't like to leave mud. They love mud. Mud is like a sweet fragrance to them. If you stay in that mud, guess what happens? You will get the reward of eternal damnation, eternal death. This is what Paul is saying right here. But Paul also said in Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Understand, you can't pay yourself. You can't buy the passage. You can't buy a ticket like you buy a train ticket or a plane ticket to heaven. Jesus already paid the ultimate price for your salvation, our salvation. All we have to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 2 and 38. That's all we have to do. Repent. That means to turn away from sin. Glory to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Jesus didn't say he was one of the ways. But he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only entrance to the Father is through him, by him. You got to receive him. You got to accept him as the only Savior. There's no other Savior. The Bible says in Acts 4 and 12, this is what he says in Acts 4 and 12. Let's read it from the book. Acts chapter 4. And verse 12, should have pulled up, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, many different religions are saying that they're all the different ways. And some of the people that are very highfalutin people, you know, well-established, well-known people, and they have access to the media, and they're telling the people out there in computer land that there are more ways to the Father than Jesus, that Jesus is not the only way. That's what they're saying. Don't let them fool you. He is the only way. You must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. But Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, "Behold, I am coming quickly." In other words, I'm coming quicker than quick. Before you can wink your eyes, before you can snap your fingers, he says, "I'm going to be on the earth with my heavenly host. Will you be ready to receive me? Will you be still in faith?" Because he says, "When I come, will I still find faith in the earth?" Faith in the earth meaning that will you still have faith that he's coming? Will your faith still be strong enough to be established? Hallelujah. Y'all, you only have faith for today. No, the faith has to be continuous. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth it unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him be ashamed. Listen to what the scripture says. Hallelujah. Whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Glory to God. Bless the name of the Lord. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth made unto salvation. For scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference to be between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that calleth upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? We need preachers. Preachers to preach. Ah, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commanded his love. God gave his love to us. Hallelujah. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, he says, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So you've got to be baptized. Somebody say, "Well, how with the thief on the cross that was on the cross that asked Jesus to remember him when he come into paradise, and everybody know that he had given his life to Christ then. He said, 'Remember me when you get into paradise.' And he said, 'Today you will be with me in paradise.' So if he receives salvation How come he didn't have to be baptized? He didn't have to be baptized because it was a different dispensation. It was a different time. So he didn't have to go, but he received the gift of salvation. Now, you all out there that hear this or that will hear this, I just pray for that some Muslim people will go past this page, some Sikhs, some Buddhists will go past this page and they would hear and they would extend their hearts to God. In other words, that they would ask God to enter their hearts. Glory to God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity, this moment, this time. And even if you have fallen short and you have slipped down that slippery slope that I talked about early in the message, rededicate your life. Jesus is like the prodigal father. That's a picture of who Jesus is. That even when we come up short, he still looks out the door. He still looks out the window for us. He is still hopeful that we would repent and come back to him. And guess what? He is willing to give us a second and third and fourth chance. Don't let nobody tell you, no preacher, no nobody tell you that God will not receive you back or that you did so much bad. Even a man who committed crime, a woman who committed murder, if they repent, God, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all, not some, all unrighteousness. All you got to is call to him with a sorrowful heart. Mean what you're saying. How you know that you mean? Because you don't go back and do it again. Because, you know, we can say we mean stuff, but then the time we get an opportunity to do the same thing, we go do it again. That means we didn't repent. But when you repent and you get an opportunity, like you get, you say, repent, I'm not going to steal anymore. And then your buddy calls, a man, I know where some money is in the safe. There's nobody in the building. We can go in there. I know the combination is safe. We can go in there and get that money and just like that and come on out. But you go to the place with them and help them steal. Yeah, I'm ready to repent. Because you're going right back into the same thing. But when you repent, just mean that you're walking away, you turn away from that lifestyle, from doing the things that you were doing, that caused that brought you to the place of repentance. So today, if you want, you're that kind of, that person that know that you need Jesus in your life, that you need to repent, just say this with me. To Lord Jesus, I believe in the finished work of the cross. I believe that you were crucified on a cross at Calvary, a hill called Golgotha or the skull, that you died there from the nails and the pierce in your hands and on your feet, the crown of thorns that the blood came down your brow and the torn of your skin from the whip. But we know that it was not the nails that kept you on the cross, but the love that you have for me. Today I acknowledge, Jesus, that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. So right now, Lord Jesus, I am denouncing Satan and all of my past behavior. And I come to you with an open heart and a receptive mind. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to enter into my heart. Renew my mind to the things of God. Clean my soul. Wash it with the blood. Give me a hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus. I invite you to come into my heart right now and take control. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Well, if you said that prayer, very simple prayer that I believe the Holy Spirit gave to me, you have just received the gift of salvation. My friend, wherever you are in the world and you are seeing this prayer, Jesus has just entered your heart. You may be saying, but I don't feel anything. It's not about feelings. It's about knowing. Spiritual entrance. He enter into your heart spiritually. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding. Excuse me. You'll get a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ that we teach and preach about every day. You know, he is the message. There's no message. There's no message without Jesus. If you had a message and Jesus is not in the message, there's no message. that he is the message. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was right there. So whenever you got the message, got to have Jesus. Study the Bible. Because the Bible don't talk about reading, it talks about study. People say, I'm going home and read my Bible. Don't you? That's why you don't remember anything, because you just read it. But you got to study. Study means to go over and over and over until the Bible take roots in your heart, just like a seed. That's what the Bible is. The Word is a seed. The seed has to be planted in your heart. I said, tell my pastor, I'm going home and get it. I'm going home and getting the Word. He said, son, don't go home and get the Word. Go home and get the Word in you. You know, it's a difference. And once you get the Word inside, you call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but you need to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38. And according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, you want to be baptized. And before you get baptized, when you do get a pastor that would baptize you in Jesus' name, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want to have witnesses. Excuse me. Witnesses, you want witnesses because this is the greatest time of your life. When you are getting a new birthday, a spiritual birthday. This birthday no succumb or surpass the first birthday you had when you got out the womb. This is your spiritual birthday. The day that you get baptized in Jesus' name, that will be your spiritual birthday. And after you get baptized, you like to see you're going down the water. We call it a liquid grave. You're giving your life completely, openly to Christ Jesus. The witnesses, their witnesses there to testify, yes, he went down, she went down the water in Jesus' name. And when you come out that water, if you like me, the Holy Ghost come upon you, you're going to take off. I remember when I got baptized, because I got sprinkled back in Barbados, my home country. I should go to one of these Catholic churches, you know, because all the churches was under the Catholic domain for a while. The Episcopal Church, the Pentecostal Church, all of it was under Catholicism. And anyway, they sprinkled the water on my head. No. And that wasn't baptism. Baptism means going down to be submerged in the water. So now you're going to submerge in a pool or at the beach or at the lake somewhere. You want to go down in the water. When you come out that water, my Lord, you're going to be so excited. People come out there to be shouting, screaming, hallelujah, praise the Lord, all type of stuff. But find your church that's teaching and preaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Involve means to be part of. Don't be a spectator to the gospel or the church. Understand? Be a part. Well, we see people on the line there that nobody's going to respond, but we're going to pray and we're going to close out. The Lord said the same. We'll be back here tomorrow, and hopefully we'll get off about the same time, because I have to go see my doctor tomorrow evening for a checkup. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. And thank you for those that receive the gift of salvation today, those that receive at a later date. Thank you for all the Muslims and all the Jewish people, all the Buddhist people that are coming to Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in the earth, Lord God, because the Bible declared that in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being in the earth in the spirit form. And we're looking forward for when you come back. Turn with all your glory and all your apostolic status, oh God, that you are the chief apostle. And when you come, you will receive us all, your children, to your own, oh God, and that you will continue to lead us in that place of peace, oh God, and humility, Lord. We just thank you today. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, oh God, and bless us when we go. Father, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. We are praying today, oh God, here for Brother Mark and Brother Deacon Fraser, Minister Jones. We thank you, oh God, for Pastor Stewart, and we thank you for Prophetess Kersey. Lord, we thank you for Prophetess Tawanda Anderson and her mother and father and sisters and daughters and grandchildren. We thank you, oh God, for Apostle Washington and Apostle Millie Jefferson. We thank you for Bishop James Washington. Thank you for their children and grandchildren. Lord, we thank you for the ministry that you have given them. We ask you, God, to continue to pour into their ministry, oh God, add to their ministry, Lord God. We ask, oh God, that you help them to find a building that they can go forth and do what you call them to do. And Father, we just give you thanks, glory, and honor for them. Thank you for adding to apostles and Pastor Joyce Stewart Church that you gave them, made them watchmen over, Lord God. Thank you for the peace that you're bringing to Brother Mark, oh God, that you're opening his eyes to greatness, oh God, that you're doing a great thing in his life and his wife and children, Lord. We thank you, God, because you are majestic, God. You're a sovereign God. You're a holy God. You're a righteous God. Thank you for Prophetess Elise Polite. Well, we Alicia Polite, Lord, we thank you for her graduation. Thank you, oh God, for taking her higher, Lord God. And we pray, God, that you do miracles in her life, oh God, because you are a miracle-working God. And Father, we just pray, God, thank you for Sister Woman of God, Cindy Milton, oh God, we thank you for her. Thank you for Deaconess Aggie. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord God, for her brothers and sisters and her daughters and grandchildren. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, oh, God, for those people that are part of this ministry. Thank you for Prophetess Christina Merkels, oh, God. We thank you, Lord God, for the work of Marcella Smith, Lord God, Prophetess Jackie Tazel. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for the work that you're doing in this earth, Lord God, that you're sending people that are going out in the world and doing what they support up for Pastor DeRosa. Robert DeRosa and his wife, oh, Joyce DeRosa, Lord, we just thank you, Father God, Bishop Wright, God, we just thank you for Apostle, oh, God, for the apostles, oh, God, that are connected to us in Africa and India and China, Pastor Goodish and Apostle David in Ghana. Lord, we just thank you this morning, oh, God, for your wonderful work. Thank you for healing my heart. Thank you for healing my arteries. Thank you for healing my brain and my kidneys, my liver, my pancreas, Lord God, for healing me all over my body, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We ask you, God, to have your way in my life. Show me the right way to go, and I will go, Lord Jesus. Let me not be distracted by anything or anyone, oh God. But, Lord, allow me to give you glory with all my life, not just part of my life, but all my life, my finances, everything that I have, the blood that's in my vein, my heart, my liver, my kidneys, my bladder, my pancreas, my eyes, my ears, my lungs, my kidneys. Everything, Lord, everything, let it give you glory, Lord God. And Father, we are continuing to praise you, Lord, because only you and you alone deserve all the praises, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now, Father, as we leave this land, but never your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Lord, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, Lord God. And Father, now be the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that we use today that will make all the difference in someone's life. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in his word in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Lord Jesus is saying that let the light that he has shined into you, into your heart, into your life, be seen. The characteristics of who he is in us should be seen in our lives. That is our ministry. Not when you're preaching church. You know, my church, my ministry. No, your ministry is your life. You preach in the church and you sound real eloquent. You are good. You know how to deliver the message. But then when you step out of the church, you act like a devil. No. See, your life has to be your ministry because it's your ministry, your life that's going to draw somebody to him. The way you live. Somebody see, you're not out there cussing somebody out, giving somebody MF and GDs and all that kind of stuff you were saying. So I thought he was a preacher. I thought she was an evangelist. I thought she was saved. But see the stuff that's coming out your mouth that you're not saved. That's what it's saying to the people. You're not saved. So your life got to be your ministry. How you respond to somebody, you work for somebody and they don't pay you your due. You don't get up and start cussing them and want to fight with them. You say, okay, if you don't want to pay me, that's fine, because God will reward me. And simply what will happen is that that person may think they're getting away. Really, they're getting away. Because they rob you and you're a child of God, it causes them more. Do you hear what I'm telling you? It causes them more. Because God going to make sure they pay. They're not going to go scot-free. You know, I used to get mad with people when I was out there in the field and people didn't want to pay me. They think that because I work fast, you know, and if it was, you took a short time to do the job. I said, because I know the job. If I didn't know the job, I'd have to take a long time trying to figure out the plan and all that stuff. But I know my job, so I charge you this amount of money because if I charge you less, you know, I ain't gonna make no money because I'm gonna do the job fast. So they were sure people would tell me, well, I don't know. I said, well, what do you want to pay me? I know my work worth. And they said, I said, well, okay. And they give me what it don't worth. So I said, well, I leave that in the hand of God. I leave it in God's hand. And that's what you got to do sometimes. You have to leave it in God's hand and let God fight your battle. Don't fight no battle with anybody. Don't fight the battle with anyone, especially for money. Because money is only going to come, and just as it comes, it's going to go. It's not going to last. Believe what I'm telling you. Just as you get it, it's going to go. You ever see people trying to rob people with this thing and stuff? And let me tell you something. When they get it, when they get the money on a bad way, it don't last. They have the water heater broken. They don't want to pay you what you do. Their water heater broke. Their car break down. All these things happen because they have to pay the bill. They rob God's servant. God makes sure they pay the bill. Glory to God. So we thank God for you all. We appreciate you. We appreciate your presence, that you come and spend your time with us. You could be anywhere today, but you came on Blog Talk Radio to be with us. God bless you all. Have a blessed day, safe day. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow if you get a chance to come. If you can't come, don't come. You know, but we will be here anyway. Because as long as I'm able to come and deliver the word, I am going to come and deliver the word until I got to do something. So God bless you all. I love you with the love of Christ. And I can't love you no more because he loves you more than I love you. So have a blessed day and a safe day. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.